in the tank longer and continues its treatment process.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you. That's it.
Okay. Dr. Wolf.
I was just going to follow up on a comment you made about agriculture beneficial use, and for my colleague also, is that there are many success stories in California with other facilities with agriculture beneficial reuse. So, we're not in a new territory here, and I think the county, in fact, has reviewed some of the contracts and agreements typically used by some of the other water districts to learn from what has worked and what has not worked in the past.
I would only add that in the discussions we've had so far, we see considerable interest. We see potentially 3 to 4 times as many acres as we need to move water to, being generally interested, and as we're working now through the details to get to signed agreements. So we believe that trust can be built in a fairly straightforward manner.
Are there any lawsuits pending against the county with respect to this project?
None that we feel have merit. There is one that has been lodged against the rates and charges ordinance that is under consideration by the court right now. We held a hearing last week, and there was one recently filed against the decision that the board made on the due diligence, along with a number of other issues that I won't go into, that is in the very early stages. We've communicated the existence of this litigation to all the necessary interested agencies, and at this point have no concerns that these are significant obstacles to our moving forward.
So that means that these suits would not prevent you from going out to bid and getting contractors to start doing their work?
At this time, they are not changing what we're doing. The schedule for getting out to bid has been lined up. We will act on the 17th of May in a more formal manner, but we're looking at first bids being opened early in 2012, and we at this point plan to stay on that schedule.
Okay. What's that, Francis? Go ahead. Okay, as to your other request of the board, that's something that the board can consider in closed session only because of pending litigation. And but, we're aware of the county's, repeated request to do something about the cease and desist orders, but it's nothing we can comment on
at
this time.
I appreciate that, and look forward to the time at which we can. So.
Okay.
And that's what I was going to say, so you covered that. But one more thing I just wanted to clarify about the record, that Mr. LaCaro mentioned a, quote, late comment, and that comment was late. It's not part of the record, but it was actually just a request for information to be provided to the gentleman, and it wasn't actually a comment on this order, and so it'll be handled separately by the staff, but will not be part of the record for this matter.
Okay. All right. We have some speaker cards. Why don't we go to those right now? All right. Mr. Bearden, Don Bearden, followed by Mark Merritt, Julie Tacker, Piper Riley, Al Barrow. If there's anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on this matter, please get your speaker cards in right now.
Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Bearden.
Don Bearden, Los Osos Prohibition Zone. Our previous project was going to have a reverse osmosis system in it, and it was going to take out a lot more stuff than what this present project will. In our visit to Salinas, and where they're using recycled water, one of the questions I asked of some of the staff there was, have you checked for pharmaceuticals in your effluent stream? And they said yes, and they had found the significant one was caffeine. I don't think our system will take out caffeine either, the one that we're getting today. Anyway, I want to know, are our discharge requirements going to be the same as Salinas, or are they going to be more stringent? That's first thing. Second thing is, I'd like you to rescind the CDOs. I think it's just, if you want to bring this community together and get this thing going more and better, please rescind the CDOs. And the last thing is, I urge you to adopt these requirements as soon as possible. Let's get this project going. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I made an announcement yesterday before we had any public comment. I forgot to repeat that today. And that is, we have the timer up here, and it lights up, and the yellow light comes on at 1 minute to go, so that's your indicator to think about finishing up within the minute. And when the buzzer goes off, it doesn't mean you have to stop mid-sentence, but please just complete that sentence, and then that's it, without us having to stop you. We would appreciate it if you would do that. As I said yesterday, that doesn't mean that it's a time to get creative with the world's longest run-on sentence. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Good morning. Mark Merritt. I'm the former wastewater projects coordinator for the LOCSD. And I just wanted to congratulate the county and Board of Supervisors and urge the water board here to support this waste discharge requirement action here today. I was privileged to be part of the previous project, and I would believe at this point in time that we perhaps have a better project on the books, and I have spoken with the project manager and believe that there's a good chance that this project will be built, the first one since the projects were lined up starting about 30 years ago to try to address this nitrate problem. Reuse is ideal, but it's going to take fine-tuning. I received my graduate degree from Cal Poly in agriculture, and I lived in Los Osos from 1975 to 1983, and I know quite a bit about the requirements for agriculture and also the value of agricultural exchange. That's going to be something that needs to be taken up by the community at a later date, and I certainly hope that you can do that successfully as well. And I thank you very much, and once again urge you to adopt these requirements.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Tacker.
Good morning. I am Julie Tacker, a 40-year resident of Los Osos. I appreciate Dr. Hunter's thoughtful participation, and I'm happy that you've decided to stick in there with this long history project. Something Mr. Licaro said, that this is a great opportunity for your board to support a community-wide sewer system. And I have to tell you that Los Osos at large supports a community-wide sewer system. Contention has been over its cost, its location, and then those areas of the community that are not part of the system. So it's not always been a contentious issue whether or not we needed one or we wanted one. It's the implementation of one. I kind of resent the blowing off the dust idea here. We've just gone through 6 years of arduous time with $8 million expended, and we're just blowing off the dust. If we were going to blow off the dust, we should have just kept going, as my board tried to do with the Blakeslee Compromise. And we were stopped because there was a perception that we would be building pipes to nowhere. And I think that's exactly what you have with the project in front of you today. Pipes to nowhere. The county has not purchased the site for the sewage treatment plant. They've not acquired any right-of-ways. They haven't even transferred the ownership of the properties that the Los Osos CSD owns as part of the previous project. So again, I believe it is pipes to nowhere. Mr. Young, you kind of hit a nail on the head with the disposal versus recharge definitions. For $200 million, you would think we would be recharging our aquifer. We are not. By de facto, Broderson does, all through modeling, nothing is assured that some leakage will occur that then may recharge the aquifer. We have a serious seawater intrusion problem. If we wanted to stop it, we would be injecting water of some quality to intercept that seawater wedge. Some of my concerns,
Can you finish your sentence?
I can certainly try. Having a wastewater or waste discharge approval today starts a clock. Maybe not formally, but it starts a clock. And we have CDOs, we had ACLs, we had penalties. And I don't want to see decisions in the future from today forward being driven by your board. They've been done hastily,
okay,
and they've cost
you.
The community millions of dollars.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Tacker.
Good morning, Board. I am Piper Riley from Los Osos. I'm here today after years of turmoil regarding the nitrate levels in Los Osos. Yet after almost three decades, the nitrate levels really haven't changed much, but the chloride levels have dramatically increased, seriously threatening our basin. Many vital issues are being ignored while staff focuses on low levels of a manageable pollutant, nitrates, as a far more serious pollutant, chlorides, continues to increase, destroying our drinking water supply. 4 years ago, I received an NOV, and since then, I've participated in this process, which has been difficult to follow and less than transparent. 4 years ago, many of us said that we would end up here today, arguing over the approval of this conventional and unexact proposal. How do we know this? Because a firmly entrenched paradigm between big business and government exists, which allows expensive, ineffective mega projects to prevail. There is a lot of money being spent on cleaning up pollution and fixing problems, but it often comes at the expense of the environment and the public. We see examples of this nationwide, yet it does not make it acceptable. Built-in obsolescence should not, as well as we'll figure it out later, should not be part of the project proposal. Your staff provided no notice to those who submitted written comments. The responses to comments, which I just happened to find because I'm on the statewide notification list, were posted just 1 week prior to this meeting. Your staff, like that of County Public Works and the Coastal Commission, provided incomplete and sometimes no answers to serious issues. Both of those agencies basically indemnified themselves so that they could not be held liable when this project goes wrong. Will your board vote to do the same? Such indemnification screams volumes. I have not been given adequate time here today to address the board on all of the critical issues which have gone unanswered again. Pretending facts don't exist when they do will put you in a position of liability. We know from experience that individual members, as well as an entire board, can be sued. Unless you are certain that all critical questions have really been answered, I'd suggest not granting the discharge permit at this time, because the risk of being held responsible for the demise of the Los Osos Basin is great when easy solutions for saving our groundwater and protecting the surrounding areas go ignored. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Al Barrow, followed by Keith Weimer, and then Elaine Watson.
Good afternoon, honorable board members. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. First, the cost of the project is almost 10 times the average according to the State Water Resources Control Board 2004 studies. An average of communities this size would be a cost of $25 a month. This project is approaching somewhere between $200 and $250 a month, depend on whose magic pencil is writing the numbers. But basic bottom line is the application is for $189 million with an outstanding assessment of $20 million that is being paid for currently by ratepayers. The ratepayers are being gouged by a project that is twice as expensive as necessary. My concern is for low and moderate income people. My landlord runs 200 rentals. He has one vacancy. That's a half a percent. There's no room in the inn. $200 a month is going to devastate his ability to compete with other competing rentals. That was one point. The liability you are going to take in when you take the decision to give a discharge permit to this badly, and I mean seriously, under-designed project. In fact, it isn't even designed. The county last hearing 2 weeks ago said that they were going to have to spend between $3.5 and $5 million to redesign the project. Wouldn't you like to see what that design looks like before you give a permit to it? Let's talk about pipe buoyancy, flotation. Does anybody know how to make water run uphill? Anybody here? Well, if you look at CDM, which is the only respondent for design, in their presentation, they say that they're going to reduce the pipe slopes from the prior design, which was an average of about a 16th of an inch slope, okay? They're going to reduce that, and the conservation reduces the flows by 50% from 100 gallons per person to 50 gallons per person. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Does everybody understand that a pipe has to be having a good slope? Well, Senator Blakeslee, who created 2701, was so concerned about the liquefaction conditions and about the earthquake conditions around Diablo, which is only 5 miles from ours, which is we're practically on that. With the coastline fault and previous faults, that has not been considered. In the staff report to the lending agencies and to yourself, they stated
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Barrow.
Let me just finish up with that one sentence. They stated wrongly that the impact was just around the bay. We lost part of our fire department and we lost our water tower. You need to look at this.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Barrow. Keith Weimer.
My name is Keith Weimer, Los Osos Sustainability Group. We are asking you not to approve the waste discharge requirement for the project and to circulate a subsequent EIR. This is needed to address unmitigated impacts on seawater intrusion and habitat as required by CEQA. It is also needed to identify the most cost-effective project for the Clean Water Act. We submitted documentation to show unmitigated impacts and more cost-effective solutions to water quality issues, and the LASO Sustainability Group incorporates by reference all bases for an SEIR or EIS presented to your board. I'll direct project's failures to mitigate, and Elaine Watson will address cost effectiveness. The project's main mitigation for reduced groundwater flows and adverse impacts on seawater intrusion and habitat are the reuse disposal element, which incorporates the conservation element. CEQA requires these to be specific, measurable, and enforceable. Instead, both are vague and flawed. CEQA prohibits vague plans with the specifics to be developed in the future because there is no certainty that mitigations will be adequate or feasible, and they are not with this project. Here are some problems, and I provide others in the handout. Broderson leach fields are the main mitigation for seawater intrusion. They are supposed to percolate 448 acre feet. However, the EIR says it will be tested for 3 years at 200 acre feet. How is seawater intrusion going to be mitigated during this time, and what if they don't work, and where does the water go? during that period. There is no recycling program, and you can't be sure farmers will take it. And ag reuse doesn't mitigate for seawater intrusion. The conservation plan is supposed to help mitigate for maintaining water levels, but the plan is not developed, although it was supposed to be implemented as soon as possible, reducing indoor use to 50 gallons per day per person. The recently published ISJ conservation study says that 50 gallons per day won't be reached until 2019, and the study makes it unclear whether the county or purveyors will implement the plan. Also, it is not certain purveyors will reduce pumping where it is needed, or that their plans to shift most pumping to the upper aquifer won't cause seawater intrusion in the upper aquifer with the project. This was not analyzed in the EIR. We provided you expert testimony that increased pumping in the upper aquifer with the project could cause seawater intrusion in the upper aquifer. This project currently will do more harm than good to the water supply at an astronomical price, devastating both the basin and community of Los Osos. A much less risky and more cost-effective project is possible, and an SEIR or EIS is needed to identify it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Elaine Watson, and then Gwen Taylor, and Richard Markinson.
Elaine Watson, Los Osos. The WDR attempts to justify the project in several unsuccessful ways. It cites the 2006 nitrate monitoring program, in which nitrate levels in the shallow upper aquifer test wells are at Title 22 standards. However, the EIR states that the average level in those same wells are at 10 milligrams per liter and compliant with Title 22. As we discussed at the Water Board meeting a couple of months ago, the 2005 study indicates nitrates have stabilized in the basin, that is, with existing septic tanks. At that meeting, we asked, and you agreed, that those bimonthly tests should be reinstated. However, the county has shown no interest. Mr. Gibson says they have no direction from you to do so. The WDR attempts to justify Brodersen, the main vehicle for disposal and for mitigation for seawater intrusion, stating it would result in lower nitrogen loading than current septic systems. However, it fails to point out that nitrates are expected to decrease by only 1.7 milligrams per liter over the next 30 years. In fact, Brodersen is an experiment not guaranteed to work. It will destroy 8 acres of ESHA. It will release about 1 million tons of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere and will continue to use about 40% of the total project energy over the course of its life term. The WDR attempts to justify the project by saying two local seeps are responsible for human contamination to the estuary. However, it omits the fact that those coliforms only contribute 1/100th of the total found. And from DNA fingerprint data, those appear to be from one source, that is, one human. In a presentation of a study, which was funded by the state, Dr. Kitt stated that if the entire PZ were sewered, it would only reduce the total coliform in the estuary by 1% at best. He also said that this was a project to study shellfish. It was never designed nor intended to be applied to the issue of septic tanks. Yet this study is repeatedly cited and distorted. The WDR also cites State Water Board Resolution 6816 regarding stability of water quality and beneficial use, explained on page 8. However, the WDR doesn't remind the regional board are required to consider the cost and feasibility of water quality measures. It also doesn't mention that purveyors intend to treat for nitrates as they pump, or that the state is not actively enforcing exceedances of nitrate standards throughout the state because it isn't worth the prohibitive cost. I have an article in which Darren Polhema states this. Simply put, this project isn't justified. People will be forced out of their homes. A much less expensive project should be analyzed and identified through an SEIR. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Taylor, Richard Margetson, Shauna Sullivan, and finally, Lindy Owen.
Good morning. I have attended these types of meetings since 1974 on the same subject. And the original premise for this sewer project was because of nitrates. A public health report never stated that there were any public health, remember that, report was never stated that there were nitrate problems. Also, there were three different secretaries or administrators, as Mr. Briggs is one of the three, and none of them were noticed that we had a problem with nitrates in our water as to blue babies or that the community should cease and desist drinking the water. We are now in a situation in which you have asked under 8312, that there be a wastewater management district developed. There was a memorandum of understanding for which the county never went forth with. You, this board, asked the county to check on the wells and report the test wells, not the wells that the water comes from, but the test wells, and that has not been done either. We are seeing more and more saltwater intrusion. Saltwater is going to be the bigger problem and not nitrates. Nitrates can be taken care of at the wellhead, but not saltwater. And saltwater is going to be one of the biggest problems that we have. It is not going to be taken care of through the treatment facility, and we are losing our water basin. We are losing it now, and it is not being replenished, as has been professed by some of those who feel that the rains are going to recharge our groundwater. Yes, we have had good rains, but that is not the answer. We need to have some help in this situation because there is no other source of water. We don't have access to Nacimiento. We don't have access to the state water. Where are we as a resident going to turn on our faucet and find that we have water? You have heard from other speakers that there are other existing problems. It would behoove you to listen, not to close your ears, as has been done in the past. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Taylor. Mr. Marketson?
Good morning. Richard Marketson. Before Mr. Gibson gets to do his usual closing, these are the same people that come on a regular basis with questions for you, and we appreciate if we weren't marginalized. Monica, very good question about Broderson. The EIR, how did the EIR come up with a number of 448 if there was this ability of quadruple redundancy to dispose of Broderson? It was the major flaw of the original project for disposal, over 800 acre feet at Broderson. I wish that was followed up on a little more. With respect to the ag exchange discussion or ag reuse, Mr. Gibson indicated at his office hours last week that if they don't get contracts with the farmers, that they have eminent domain ability to force them to take it. The nitrate testing that was talked about at your last meeting, we haven't seen anything come forward from the county about implementing that. And we're talking about the nitrate testing at the test wells. The monitoring schedule that used to be every 6 months when the CSD had the project. That's what we're looking for. I can understand why the county doesn't want to start that up, because if the average ends up under 10, they're probably going to have more people showing up at their board meetings to discuss that number. You still have a situation with the prohibition zone that does not include probably your first or second largest effluent disposer in the middle school. The middle school is right across from homes that are going to be incorporated into the project, and the middle school alone will be discharges on an annual basis somewhere between 2 and 3 million gallons of effluent through its septic systems. The rates and charges discussion was referred to by Mr. Gibson. There is another lawsuit coming. It's just there's a decision being made on when to strategically file that. And the time schedule that Mr. Gibson talked about was just changed 2 weeks ago, or actually two weeks ago, when they found out that the consultant that's going to redesign the project is going to need more time. They were originally supposed to start construction in September, October. Now it's been put off to early spring, and the USDA has given their extension on the financing until the end of May. So now we're another 6 months behind. I'll leave it at that at this point. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Margetson. Sean O'Sullivan. Last speaker is Lindy Owen.
Good morning. I'm Shauna Sullivan. I'm speaking on my own behalf as a resident of Los Osos. In the original staff report, it was claimed that this project is intended to comply with a wastewater prohibition set forth in Resolution 8313. As you know, when RAID 8313 has been reinterpreted in the last decade as rendering all of our septic tanks illegal and also barring all discharges from any on-site system or community sewage disposal system, which necessarily includes this project. So therefore, when I made my comments, I pointed out that this does not comply with 8313. In fact, it violates it. So I appreciate that staff has brought to your attention that you need to recognize that you need an exemption from 8313 in order to go forward with this project. I saw that that is in the staff report because I do want to make it clear it is violative of it. It is time to get rid of 8313. It's an antique prohibition that it looks like it's going to be reaffirmed again on another later agenda item today on Agenda 17 where the Basin Plan amendments are. It's time for this board to look at rescinding 8313 because barring all discharges into a water basin is certainly not going to help water quality or help saltwater intrusion in our community. So I suggest that the board look at rescinding that altogether as opposed to reaffirming it. I'd also like the board to consider rescinding the CDOs as well as the CAOs that are purportedly enforcing 8313. Which 8313 at the time it was adopted did not consider recycling or the need to recharge. The agenda item, the other thing I wanted to bring up was that this is an unfunded mandate and we just simply can't afford. We've already had three bond measures and I know there's this financing, but this is such a boondoggle. I mean, it's so expensive. And I see the items on agenda item 17 as requiring other prohibition zones in other areas of this county as yet further unfunded mandates putting on the cities and counties the requirements to manage septic tanks or eliminate them, which appears to be the preferred method of this board. So I just basically wanted to bring up that point that I'd like to see the CDOs and CAOs rescinded, 8313 rescinded, and request the board look at that. And please keep in place the exemption because you do need an exemption as this does not further 8313. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Last speaker is Lindy Owen.
Good morning. Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I think it was last year San Diego required a waiver again for releasing untreated secondary and primary and secondary treated waste into the ocean off of the coast of San Diego. And the regional board down there evaluated the cost of repairing and correcting that problem and realized that it was unaffordable. So they went ahead and continued the waiver. So in situations where the expense of doing a repair is so extreme, has been done by the regional board, has agreed to grant waivers. I am here also to ask that you rescind 8313 or at least pull it back and revise it. It's 23 years old. It's based on data that is no longer current. When you look at the last water, the nitrate testing, you see that most of the nitrates are out in the area that is not going to be sewered, out by the golf course, underneath the Cabrillo Estates. If you remove that one test well reading, you find that Los Osos is under, we are within reason. So this is putting it, we're very close to meeting the nitrate standards, and yet the proposal to put a project forward that will put, my concern mostly is beyond the cost is, and the energy waste, is putting giant pipes into our drinking supply that will be our backup supply. It's the upper aquifer. When those pipes break during time, and if one earthquake event happens, we are in a liquefaction zone. It has now been declared from the Diablo studies that Oceano and Los Osos are both going to be severely shaken when we do have any kind of earthquake activity. Those pipes will be releasing raw, untreated sewage into our drinking, into our last drinking supply. This project is absolutely dangerous, and it's not going to improve water quality. You've already heard that the nitrates will be treated at wellhead. So, and then I further, 8312 was never implemented. The county and the health department have been negligent, and so has the regional board for not forcing it. That would have been a septic management program that should have been installed, and think what it could have done to improve water quality in this area. The saltwater intrusion is the higher problem here, and it's not fixable. And the longer we sit around and let the ISJ manage it and let this project go forward, the sooner we're going to say goodbye to that last pure drinking supply. And it's moving 12 times faster than expected. My septic tank is not in the 8313, and I'm going to stand before you and say that you will not be able to remove it because it has not been condemned. My septic tank is working perfectly well. It's my leach field and my disposal that you're after. You can take that and put that into the system, but I will need to be compensated for the pre-treatment that my septic tank is doing. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Owen. That concludes our speaker cards. A couple questions I have for the county. I'm just curious, Ms. Tacker, is of the opinion that the county hasn't established ownership rights to some of these parcels, and could you clarify that?
Well, I'll give you the general, the overview is that AB 2701 gives us rights to any of the real property that the CSD owns that's been associated with the property, and we're in the process of effecting those transfers. I'll let Mr. Waddell speak to any other properties that are necessary.
And how about the treatment site itself, where the facility will be built? Who owns that?
That's currently owned by a private individual. It's called the Giacomazzi site. Right. It's the Giacomazzi family. We are in the process of acquiring all the real property and right away, that site and others. It's the consulting agreements were approved by our board a few months ago for appraisal and acquisition services, and those are moving forward. And we're, it's a formal process specified by law, and it's independent acquisition services, and so those are going forward. And in the near future, we'll be coming to our board with right-of-way purchase agreements.
Are you obtaining that property by condemnation, or is it by some other means?
Well, purchasing it by hopefully a negotiated purchase.
Okay. And then for Francis, does adoption of this order today conflict with 8313?
Well, we included a finding in the order, or a provision in the order, that would grant an exemption from 8313, although I don't necessarily think it's necessary, but it's a good idea to put it in there. So that's been added.
Okay.
The reason that it's a little confusing is that 8313 refers to community systems, and it, I think the intent of it was the small community systems, not publicly owned treatment works, but just for clarification, we added in an exemption for this project.
Okay. All right. Any board questions or comments? Okay.
For Francis, so we can go ahead with issuing a permit for a facility that doesn't have a site. Is that
heard today? They would have the permit to go forward, but of course they need the rest of the things to make it happen, but that's that's not.
Have we ever done that before?
Oh, sure.
We have. Yeah, okay.
I mean, you had an example. I think there was discussed this morning, even the project that you issued a permit for 4 years ago or something, that one that Dr. Wolf mentioned, although maybe they already had the property, I don't know. But anyway, it does happen on occasion.
Yeah, it seems odd.
I mean, it's just they wouldn't be able to...
It's just a paper project at this point. It's not...
Right, you're granting
no
authorization.
The project.
If
yeah.
they never have the property to build it, then they won't implement the permit. But
right, so are there conditions that have to be put into a permit? That do
no.
we have acquisition of the site as one of the milestones that
no,
they have to report
no, it's
meet?
There. No, you don't need to have that. If they don't acquire the site to build the project, then they won't use the waste discharge requirements. But
this permit is specific for the site, the one that was just described.
No. I mean, I don't know. Is it? Do you think it's specific to the site? It's specific for other reasons. I think they have other permits, and their EIR discusses that. But maybe Mr. Gibson can respond.
I think the simple answer is that the project is defined by our coastal development permit from the Coastal Commission that specifies site technology and a whole bunch of other conditions that need to be met. That is the project that we will construct.
Okay, and that is specific for this site.
Correct.
Okay.
The order cites this location.
But there's no, just to answer your question, there's no legal issue with you adopting a permit before they acquire the site. They still have to comply with the terms of the permit
okay.
when they build the site.
But if the order indicates that this is the site and we're issuing an order that includes that as part of the order, should we remove that? Should we change that language to say at a site yet to be determined?
Well, that's a, no, you don't need to make a change.
I guess if I were the landowner, I'd be a little concerned about having a permit issued for a wastewater treatment project on a piece of land that I own. That would concern me, but I'm not.
Well, what you're okay. doing is authorizing the discharge that meets certain terms, that meets
okay.
tertiary treatment and all those other terms. It's up to them to acquire the site in compliance with all the other permits and permissions they have.
I would think if the landowner had an issue that they would
be
here, right, screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you would think. Okay. I had one other question.
I would just add to that that the board doesn't specify the manner of compliance. They comply in any lawful manner, and for them, the lawful manner will be to acquire that site and proceed, because that's what's required by your other permit, right?
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to clarify with staff. My understanding is, you know, I asked a number of questions about reuse and disposal, and Bredesen was mentioned by one of our speakers. Will the conditions for Bredesen come up under the master reclamation plan, or is that simply the reuse component that will be done in a separate action by this board?
So for reuse, the use of tertiary treated recycled water, those locations specific for reuse, in other words, the urban turf irrigation areas and the ag, will be the ones that will be, recycled water specifications and the master reclamation permit will identify those locations only. Mm-hmm. This WDR is specific to the disposal at Brodersen.
Okay. So when I asked Mr. Waddell about the disposal rate, and he mentioned the number 400,000 gallons per day. And then I think I heard one of the speakers comment that the initial rate will be 200,000 a day, and that's considered a test. Is that in the project description? Because we don't have that kind of detail, or at least I didn't run into it in the report I have. So do we understand what the test process is and how will they be reporting to us the effectiveness or the success or the failure of Bredesen as a leach site? Because that's been a very controversial site for a lot of reasons over the time that it's been evaluated. And I think it is owned by the county. That parcel is owned, right? Is it 8 acres? Is it 8 acres?
I believe so.
Yeah. So what can you tell me about the disposal rate of 200 1,000 gallons per day, moving up to 400,000 gallons per day, and the contingency that ultimately they can take 800,000 gallons a day at that site, to that site?
The limitations in our order are a maximum annual average for the Brodersen. Then they can't go past that.
Okay.
And if they do less than that, that's fine. And there may be conditions in their coastal development permit that require a ramping up of that. Those are not in our order. Okay. Our order only includes the maximum amount allowed, which is 488 acre feet per year on an average basis.
Okay, and do you know what that translates to daily? I just want to understand what, you know, what the latitude is there.
The daily flow, David's looking up that number, but it will vary.
Sure.
From the season and from what's going on with reuse.
Right.
But our limit is an average annual flow.
Average annual, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Hodgson.
A considerable testimony expressed a concern regarding the design and the cost of the proposed facility. Question for staff. To what extent does this board have authority over the design, the ultimate design, and cost?
Well, I was just going to say that the process here is we get an application from the county, and they say, here is the plant that we propose to build and treat wastewater with. And we evaluate that plant and that design and prescribe requirements. And so we are, what the board is doing today is adopting requirements for a process that the county has proposed. And in the basic essence, that's all the board's doing today. There are issues with, you know, that you've heard about the cost and whether it's going to address other issues in the community. But what you're doing today is specifying the requirements for the discharge. And that's basically all that you're doing. And those other issues are real, but they're not addressed through this board's action.
It is the county's design, then, that is being discussed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I can just kind of add to that thought and also maybe follow up to Dr. Hunter's questions about the timing and a permit that isn't for a facility that isn't designed. But this is the necessary timing, even though it might sound like a chicken and egg thing. But the designers need to be assured of the effluent limits to which they are designing the facility. So it would be kind of foolish to proceed with the expense of a full design without having the limits established.
Okay. Any other board comments or questions? Okay. Did staff want to comment on anything they heard?
Just a few comments. We've heard issues from the public today, and I don't believe there's anything new that's not addressed in our response to comments or addressed in the staff report. Mr. Weimer's comments specifically are addressed in the response to comments, and we've copied a letter from the county that also respond to the same issues in the county's process. The EIR reviewed and discusses these issues in much greater detail than we've gone over them today. It's all in there, and we believe that it's appropriate at this time to adopt the WDRs.
Just to add that when you have a project like this, it's really starting from scratch. I mean, this is not something where a municipality is trying to figure out how to upgrade their facilities or how to add on recycling or something like that. This is really starting from scratch, and I think it's understandable then that really the possibilities for how to accomplish that are endless. And we certainly see endless numbers of comments on how whatever project is proposed, whether it's been the county's project this time, the county's project last time, or the CSD's project in the meantime, no shortage of opinions on better ways to do each one of those projects. But I think the county has certainly tried to have a process that is extensive in terms of people coming to them and having an opportunity for their input, and the county considering all that input in coming to the difficult decision of what is the best project. But ultimately, that is their responsibility, and they have accepted the due diligence, made the due diligence resolution to accept the responsibility, and then it's up to us to accept the report of waste discharge, evaluate that, come up with the waste discharge requirements that are protective of the receiving waters and public health for that proposed project. And we recommend approval of the order.
Okay. Mr. Hodgin.
I move adoption of order number R3-2011-0001.
Okay.
I second.
Okay. Mr. Hashi seconds. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay. The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Gibson, Mr. Waddell.
I just wanted to add my thanks as well to the county and to everyone else who has had a stake in this. It's been a difficult process, and we appreciate the fact that everybody has a different point of view, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we will take a break and come back at 10:45.
Sheila Soderberg.